Well, as we start this series this morning, The Simple Life, we're going to be studying the life of Solomon. Now, Solomon was a man, of course, God gave him wisdom beyond any other person that's ever lived. And Solomon, in all of his life decisions made with the wisdom that God gave him, brought him incredible success. But that success took him on an epic collision course with very destructive behavior. And that led to a failure in Solomon's life that probably very few ever saw coming. And all of that in the book of Ecclesiastes, you feel through his sentiments of regret and crushing disappointment. Over the next 12 weeks, we will hear a lot of, it was vanity and vexation of spirit. Solomon said, I did all of this stuff, I accomplished all of this, I amassed all of this, I had this to show for it, but now, looking back over my life, it means nothing. I'm empty. I'm disappointed. I'm frustrated. I can't believe that this is what I'm left with. And Solomon's life experiment with the wisdom that God gave him, the decisions that he made, the behavior that he pursued, and the consequence that he suffered, really we discover that Solomon was his own worst enemy. He was a cruel lord to himself because he refused to allow God to be his Lord. And it's my prayer that as we go through this series, that you and I will make a fundamental heart decision that Jesus Christ is a better Lord in our life than we will ever will be. That we can trust Him and allow Him to be Lord and to lead in our life. And we want Him to have His work and His way, because when we do, life is more enjoyable and it's more meaningful. And that's really the journey we're setting on this morning, is what are 12 decisions we can make according to the Word of God to a more meaningful life, biblically speaking. But Solomon chose to be his own Lord. And he discovered that himself turned out to be a terrible and a tragic taskmaster. And all that God wanted to accomplish through him was left, and he was called to love and to lead himself. Now listen, God has given you and I one life to live. God has a will and a purpose for our life. But we have to make the decision to allow God to be the Lord of our life if we're going to accomplish the life that God created us to live. If we continue to pull our life back to what we want, then we're not going to be following God's way, and ere then we will not be fulfilling God's potential and will for our life. Now, Jesus Christ is the antithesis of Solomon. The Lord is loving and gracious. And rather than demanding that you and I destroy our life for Him, rather He destroyed His life for us. And Jesus wants our whole life and trust, even in the midst of difficult times. We often call that the journey of discipleship. We're growing into a more intimate relationship with Christ, even through times of trial and testing. We'll actually hear a message on that next door at 11 o'clock. And so in this series, it's our prayer that as we survey the book of Ecclesiastes and the life of Solomon, that we will discover what truly is a meaningful and purposeful life, that we will gain a high-end view of Solomon, a man of great wisdom, but who chose to live life differently. And then the personal regrets that he had. And in his late age, as he looked back and he said, honestly, my life has gone tragically and horribly wrong. Don't do what I did. And from Solomon's life, we want to extract 12 biblical decisions for a well-lived and meaningful life. And I believe through this series that we will see that less of us living our life our way and more of God makes for a true and meaningful life. And so we're going to kind of reverse engineer Solomon's life and decisions and discover how to live the simple life. And we're going to start that this morning with a lesson entitled, Trust by Resting. Trust by Resting. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse number 22. The Bible says, For what hath man of all his labor and of the vexation of his heart? Wherein hath he labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. Solomon said, I was busy beyond comprehension. I got a lot done, but it was vanity. It was vexation. You and I this morning are not designed for perpetual motion. You remember in the life of being a child, how you hated to take naps? the effort that mom and dad would go to put you down for a nap and the effort that you would go to fight such a conquest? If you're a mom and a dad in this room, does it ever humor you to try to put your child down for a nap when they are so delirious because they are so exhausted, but the last thing they want to do is sleep? I mean, they're slurring words, they're not making any sense, they're running into walls, they desperately need just to go to sleep, but you tell them, hey, buddy, why don't you take a nap? And they tell you, I'm not tired, I don't want to take a nap, you know, I'm fine. No, I don't want to do that. And ultimately, you know what it takes? It takes telling them, lay down, be still, close your eyes. And 3 seconds later, they're out, right? Because they were exhausted and they needed to rest. But it wasn't going to happen until they were told to do so. And sometimes in our lives, we need to just slow down, but it's not going to happen unless we're told to do so. It sometimes requires a command. And so God knew what He was doing in commanding that one day out of every 7 would be a day of rest. And I want us to discover this truth of trusting by resting. Notice with me, first of all, number one, that we are as busy as we decide to be. I am as busy as I decide to be. In our lives, we love to blame our excessive busyness on the restlessness, on someone else, or something else. Someone imposed it upon us, or something happened to us, or whatever. We would much rather play the victim than taking responsibility for our own schedule. We're busy, but it's not our fault. And it's kind of a delusion. And here's how it goes. We're exhausted because we're busy. But we're busy because we're important. We're important because we're needed. We're needed, which means we're valuable. And if I'm valuable, I should be happy, right? But on second thought, I'm not really happy because I'm so tired. Sometimes it's a lot in life, it's sad how all of our busyness and motion and activity produces so little for us and really leaves us with a soul that is malnutritioned. The Bible says in Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Class, as we discover this truth about the need to trust by resting, we have to be willing to come to grips with this fact. I am as busy as I decide to be. I can't play the victim and not take responsibility. What has come into my life, what is on my plate, what devours my time is my choice. Nobody's holding a gun to my head and making me do it. I am choosing to do it. Well, it's a mandatory thing. You chose the job. Well, you know, this is happening or whatever. Listen, when you step back and you look at it honestly, it is what we decide it will be. We're as busy as we decide to be. Secondly, we need to understand busyness. If we're really going to understand God's plan in rest, then we have to understand busyness. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 4. Listen to Solomon here. I made me great works. I built me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water there with the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, this peculiar treasure of kings and of provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom reminded with me, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. You talk about a busy guy. Solomon was busy. He was incessantly busy. He was proud of his busyness. And his activity. He goes on and on in this passage, and you hear the emphasis, I did this, I built this, I accomplished this, I amassed this. He was driven by a quest for more, and literally Solomon got out of control. Now, he was wise, rich, successful, gifted, accomplished in every way imaginable. And he was proving it. He said in that passage, he was proving it. Look at what he amassed. Anything his heart could conceive, his hands could achieve. And he literally went off the rails pursuing success. Know anybody like that today? They're just so consumed with what they have to accomplish that nothing else matters. And Solomon filled his life with beautiful properties, delicious food, lavish resorts, personal servants, sexual gratification, costly possessions, productive farms, lucrative mines, global treasures, endless entertainment. I mean, anything he could conceive, he went after it. But when he stepped back and he saw all of this, there was an emptiness in his heart to the point that he actually hated his life. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 17. Therefore, I hated life, because the work that wrought under the sun is so grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Wow. You talk about a guy who accomplished it. Solomon was at the top. I mean, you imagine the luxury in any area Solomon experienced it. The guy had everything that everyone in the world is chasing. He had it. It was his. He reached the top of that mountain. He knew that reality. But the Bible says at the end of his life, he looked at it and he says, I hate my life. I hate it. It was vanity and vexation to him. Look at chapter 2, verse 20. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. Verse 23, for all his days are sorrows and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This also is vanity. It was so depressing to him during the day, and it was keeping him up at night. He couldn't even sleep. Man, Solomon had what any of us would dream for. And how did he respond? Discouraged, depressed, couldn't sleep. As an old man looking back at his life and saying, I hate it. I hate it. Now, Solomon had two identifiable problems regarding his business. And I want us to see these in the scripture. First of all, he was perpetually busy. What does that mean? It means he was never ceasing to be busy. There was always more to do, and Solomon was committed to get it done. Now, in his first book, First Things First, Stephen Covey called this the urgency addiction. And we live in a day that is so immersed with technology that our life never stops. We literally are never off the clock. We are always engaged in life and activity and busyness and so on. Now, I'm not advocating that God doesn't want you and I to work. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. I think we ought to work. I think we ought to work hard. I think Christians ought to be very productive people and having a good testimony in the workplace. But God does not intend for any of you and I to be perpetually busy, always immersed in activity, always pursuing something else. Because perpetual busyness is destructive. It's pointless. Because it's driven by a weak motive that we are trying to please self. So now we are in life doing all that we can to please ourselves, and the goal is ever changing. And Solomon got wrapped up in this perpetual busyness and this pointless pursuit because he realized that he could pursue all day long the pleasures that would bring him fulfillment, but it was empty because it would not last. It would not satisfy. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Solomon learned this lesson the hard way. Solomon enjoyed the pleasures of sin. I mean, Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Solomon had wisdom that we cannot understand. Solomon had wealth that we cannot understand. Solomon literally had it all. But Solomon discovered in the midst of having everything, he had nothing. His whole life was being lived for self. And when he got to the top of the mountain, he discovered, I am miserable. I thought I would be so fulfilled and so satisfied and so proud of what I've accomplished. But honestly, I look at it, Solomon said, and I just hate what I have become. It's not at all what I thought God would have for me. Why? Because thirdly, Solomon discovered that a restless life leads to a restless soul. A restless life leads to a restless soul. A restless lifestyle produces a restless heart. Ecclesiastes 5:12. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. You see, when we are so busy and we're wrapped in our personal success and that becomes our Lord, then we literally get consumed. The pursuit of that will eat you and I alive. But when the Lord, Jesus Christ, becomes the Lord of our life, He leads us to a balanced busyness and a valuable purpose at a healthy pace. Jesus Christ draws life into perspective. He says, hey, get out of that singular focus you have. Look at the big picture. There's more to life than just that. Yes, God designed you and I to work. He expects you and I to live in service unto Him rather than just in idleness. But God clearly wants our priorities to determine our busyness. Solomon was so discouraged and depressed, and it wasn't just because of his busyness. That was a manifested problem of the root problem. You see, the root problem in Solomon's life was lordship. The Lord was not the Lord of his life. He was the Lord of his life. And until you and I will come to a heart-level decision of who is the Lord of our life, we're going to have a really difficult time reigning in our schedules, reigning in our time, reigning in our energy. We have to come to a place where we say, He is the Lord of my life, not me. Pleasing Him is far more important than pleasing me. Doing what's right before Him is far more important than what I think will make me happy. Solomon didn't understand that, and he was left with a restless soul. He was left with vanity and vexation. He had become his own Lord, and he hated his life. So what must we do then as we make the Lord of our life? Number four, we have to embrace finiteness. Embracing finiteness. Have you ever run out of gas? I have. Isn't that amazing? We drive vehicles with gas gauges. The gauges indicate when we are getting close to being empty. Some cars have flashing lights as you get closer. Some have sounds that go off. Some have miles till empty indicators. 29, 28, 27, 26. I mean, we've got all kinds of gadgets and tools and warnings, and yet sometimes we push it so far that we still run out of gas because we are convinced it can go a little further. We did a road trip for vacation this summer. I told you that a few weeks ago. And we were leaving Zion National Park on a Tuesday morning. There in Utah, we were making our way to Denver, Colorado. Now, I'll admit, I am a guy that likes to push as far as I can until I fill up. I want to get the most out of it that I can. I want to stop as few times as possible. And I always tell Susanna, sweetheart, the next gas station will be a little cheaper. It's going to be worth it. That's usually my rationale of why we need to just go a little further, because we're going to save a little money while we do it. It's great. So we were traveling, and we were getting close to empty. The warning light was on. The miles were counting down. I saw the sign, gas and however many miles. Now, that was slightly more than the van was saying I had left, but I knew we could make it, and we were comfortable with that. So we were getting close to that mile marker on the freeway, and that gas station wasn't open. Now I had a problem. The sign said, next gas, 72 miles. No way I was going to make it 72 miles. No way I was going to make it back about the 45 I had just come. I was stuck. So we got on the phone, we got on the map, we started figuring out where can we go. This is the gas station that I found. It was 18 miles out of my way, one way. I had to get off the freeway, go into this small town, and this is called Randy's. Now, I have never prayed so much in that 18 miles that I did that day. I did not want to have to face my wife and children with breaking down the side of the road. It was really warm out. And the humility of having to, you know, get someone to take me to a gas station and buy a can and buy the fuel and come back. And by the way, I've even been in that situation as well. We pulled onto Randy's and we got gas. And as you can see, it's a one pump, small deal. I mean, this literally is in the middle of nowhere and a little further out than that. But I stepped back while it was gassing up and I took a picture because I wanted to remember this memory of pushing it and God providing, but almost not making it. And you know what? Sometimes in life, that's the way we live. We want to push everything so far. We want to run on fumes and we don't want to stop and refill. And we must understand there is a finiteness about us determined and established by God. Look at Ephesians 2 verse 15. Then said I in my heart, as it happened to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. This was Solomon saying. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this is also vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever. Seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten, and how dieth the wise man as a fool. You know what Solomon was saying? I'm the wisest man that's ever lived, and when it's all said and done, they're not going to remember me any different than the fool. My life is going to end just like his, and our earthly life is a finite thing. Endless wealth and limitless possessions and impressive accomplishments, they don't do anything to extend the human limits that God has already established. The wise and the fool end up in the same kind of grave. Finiteness was something that Solomon did not want to accept, and neither do we. But God has created you and I with limits, and there's a reason for that. Because it points our attention to the fact that we are dependent on God. Not a one of us can live this life in a way that pleases and honors the Lord without Him. We all have limits. We all come to the end of ourselves regularly. And what does that do? It reminds us, I need Him. I must depend upon Him. Our finiteness should remind us of His infiniteness. He can handle it. So can I encourage you this morning, class? Stop and get gas. Trust by resting. And can I tell you in love this morning that either you will stop or you will be stopped. It is always better to stop proactively and recover rather than recover from the collision of being stopped. Going to Randy's was 18 miles one way out of my way. It took time. It was a little frustrating. That was a whole lot better than being stuck on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere and walking. We have to make a decision in life. Stop. Replenish. Fuel up. Spend time with the Lord and our family if we're not willing proactively, strategically, and willingly to do it. It will happen irregardless. So what do we have to do to trust by resting? Number five. We need to prioritize restfulness. We must prioritize restfulness. Now notice the fifth commandment with me, if you would, in your notes in Exodus 20. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it shalt thou not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter nor thy manservant, thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. Now God's laws are the expressions of His grace. They're given for our benefit, and they teach us how life was designed to work and how to follow Him. God's law of rest is not an optional law. It's a fixed value. It's something that God has given you and I. God gives that law and even practices it in creation. Does God need rest? No. But what did God do? On the seventh day, He rested. Why did God do that? In 6 literal 24-hour days, God speaks the universe into being. He creates it with the spoken word. And on the seventh day, the Bible says God rested. The infinite God that has everything, all power, who doesn't need rest, on the seventh day stopped and rested. Why would God do that? He's providing an example to us. that we need to prioritize restfulness. We need to prioritize stopping the activity and busyness of life. And again, those of you that know me well, you understand. I'm not advocating we be lazy. I think we ought to be the hardest working bunch in the valley. But what I'm saying is we can get so consumed with busyness and activity, and we're running here, there, and everywhere, and there's no time for what's important. And God's looking down from heaven saying, are you tired of running on fumes? Stop the madness and live by priority. Trust in God by resting. The word Sabbath literally means to cease, desist, or rest. Sabbath is God instructing you and I to put our days into His hands. The principle is that 6 days with God is more productive than 7 days my way. Ecclesiastes 2:23, for all his days are sorrows, and his travail, grief, yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This also is vanity. Verse 24, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God. How can we discover God's goodness if we don't stop to thank Him for it? How can we take time to put life in proper perspective if we don't take time to stop and examine it? Sabbath is the day of rest that we are to take to look upon all that God has provided for us, to thank Him and to worship Him. So what is rest as we close? Let me give you these thoughts. First of all, letter A, resting is trusting. When you rest, you're trusting in God. Now seriously, God has handled the universe without you and I for thousands of years. Let's not think it's going to fall apart for one day without us. God can handle it. We've got to trust Him. It's resting in Him, trusting. God, I trust you with my life and my time. Resting, letter B, is restoring. To rest is to allow God to renew and to restore us spiritually, emotionally, physically. Our car has gauges for things, if you will. Your life has gauges. Your physical energy, your emotional energy, your spiritual energy. And I know that's a simple way of looking at it, but if you ignore these gauges, you're headed for a collapse in life. And every gauge in every area affects the others. When we're physically depleted, it makes us emotionally irritable, and we're spiritually unmotivated, not to mention eventually physically ill. Emotional depletion exhausts us and causes us to avoid or even to hurt people. And the longer it goes, the worse it spirals downward. So we have to recognize that resting is restoring. It's renewing me. The way that we live in 2018, constantly checking our phones, hyper-scheduling our lives and the lives of our children, not taking time for God or for family, hardly ever being without a screen right in front of our eyes. There's a pace and a stress that we have come to embrace and to adopt into our lives. Our bodies are to a point where they don't even know when it's time to sleep naturally. There's just always a white noise and a busyness about life. And God says, that's not what I intended at all. I want you to stop. Turn it off. To rest. To be restored and to be renewed. Resting, letter C, is recreating. They tell you that physical, one of the best things you can do for your overall health an immune system is to get decent sleep. And again, I'm not advocating laziness. I think we've got some hard workers in this room. We had some guys, and I love our guys. A good number of our guys work through the night, Saturday night, and come in here and are faithful, and I love it. My wife and I had a crazy week. We had 2 all-nighters this week. Hey, there's sometimes in life, it is what it is. And you get up and you keep going. And I'm not advocating anything different than that. But I'm challenging us as husbands and wives and fathers and mothers. Let's be careful not to be so immersed in this neck-break, chaotic, crazy schedule that we never have time for what truly is important. Stop. Turn it off. Rest. Recreate in life physically, emotionally, spiritually. God rested, Jesus rested, and you and I must rest. Now, In this series, we're going to study 12 decisions from the book of Ecclesiastes and a look at the life of Solomon. Some of these decisions will be hard for us. Some will require some courage to make them. Some will be a little scary, and they're going to shake up the life we're living in our status quo. But I hope that you and I collectively will take a hard look at Solomon and the life we're living today and be willing to ask ourselves, are we constructing a Solomon-like life that when we get to the end and look back, we're going to say, I hate it. It's full of vanity and vexation of spirit. Listen, if it didn't work for Solomon, who had more wisdom and wealth than any one of us will ever dream to have, friend, it's not going to work for us either. So let's not be determined to make the same mistake. Let's pull up a chair and listen to a wise old man and say, you know what? I better second think some things here. I better evaluate some things. Solomon had it all, and it turned out to be nothing. Is what I'm pursuing right now going to turn out to be nothing? Is it going to be vanity or vexation? Is it all temporal and going to burn? Let's take some time to trust by resting in God, resting in His Word, resting in His purpose and His will, and allowing Him to be the Lord of our life. Will you trust by resting? Will you admit that you're not designed for perpetual motion? Will you be still and let God be God? And let's make the decision today, Lord, You're the Lord of my life. And I want to follow You. And I want my life to matter. And I don't want it to get to the end